Thanks for joining us on the Future Food Show. This is your host, Alex Shirazi, and I'm really excited to have Ale Mentrelanzo from Planetarians on the show today. Ale, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alex, for hosting me. How can it be beneficial for your audience?
Well, I think there's definitely a lot of overlap between what Planetarians is doing and our audience. And I will say that, you know, we've bumped into each other so many times at different events, and I've tried maybe some of the past Planetarian products. Tell us, you know, very briefly first, and we'll get into it more, but what is Planetarians?
Well, we make better for you protein at the price you love. And behind that, you will find something really tasty. So we are very proud that 72% consumers who tried our meat, they want to make a second bite. And it's affordable. You can find it cheaper than chicken. So this is our offer proposition to the market.
Okay, cool. And I will say it doesn't only taste good, it also looks very good too. But we'll get into that a little bit more later. I first actually want to focus a little bit on you. Tell us about your background.
Well, I'm from Belarus, and I built several companies back in the post-USSR environment. And one day, looking at my boys, well, I just scratched my head and thought, well, what planet will I leave them after my departure? So I thought that maybe this is the moment when I can do the sustainable business, the business that is good not only for the people, but also for the planet. And also, this should be a technology business because I wanted to expand all the benefits of what I'm doing to every corner of the planet. So I relocated myself to Silicon Valley, how we call it from the outside, Bay Area, here in San Francisco, and started fixing the animal agriculture.
And you have a record of entrepreneurship. What were some of your past startups and companies focused on? Was it food tech? Was it sustainability?
No, the food, this is what I stumbled and educated myself here in the United States. My prior companies were related to the equipment for exhibitions, seminars, trade shows. We did a couple of tech things like the ATM to top the account on your smartphone, because in the early 2000s, well, in Russia, we had smartphones, but didn't have the ATMs and the bank cards so easily to transfer money for our cell phone accounts. We also made something unconventional, spherical solar cells, because efficiency of solar cells were dependent on their surface. And we thought that spherical sphere has more surface rather than flat one, so we can get more electricity from the sunlight. So, and these were my technologicals. One successful, we created Salt Company, and one not successful, we created and failed. So that's my prior track record.
Okay, cool. And I'm getting Solyndra vibes. What was the one was that the solar company that didn't work out?
Yes, it was solar. Yeah, it's yes. Unfortunately, our hopes. Well, we can blame Chinese companies, but no, that was us. We failed it. And I would love to use the most stronger word to describe our experience.
That's a little bit about your background, and I do like the name Planetarians. And the more you actually, you know, read about, you know, the company, the more, you know, the name makes sense. It's not just a cool name. Do you have, you know, co-founders in Planetarians?
Yes, I started with Anastasia at Ketchova, but since it was a very long journey, so Planetarians is a 10-year-old company, so we have to switch the gears. And right now I have Max Barnhaus, who is the chef who fed a lot of people in the Bay Area and realized, wow, now I can scale my skills with Planetarians. So we have Michael Pasty, a chemical engineer who built the first biodiesel plant in Northern America. And he made a pilot facility from the heavily duct taped into something that runs like a Swiss clock. We have Sonia Rodriguez, who helped us with sales. And you'll be surprised, the best traction our savory strips have in Texas. And half of that success I would attribute to Sony presenting them the right and educating people that it's not only tasty, but also sustainable and profitable because you pay less.
Okay, cool. And I saw that you have partnerships with different universities or schools, one that you mentioned in Texas. Is the company more of a B2B and food service approach, or is there also a D2C component as well?
So, well, on our way, we tested multiple channels. But last fall, we figured out that schools, high schools, colleges, universities is the fastest way for us to market, because it has more progressive consumer base. So willing to try something new, thinking about the sustainability. And also, well, students have a little bit less money than the adults in the pockets. So all that helped us to understand that universities is our anchor customers. We were lucky to land UT Austin as the first university. Now we see that university bought several months on a regular basis and started us to recommend to other universities like the University of Alabama, Georgia Southern, University of Arkansas. So very unlikely territories for the plant-based meat, but all of them understand the taste, they understand the value of the meat. And when they get the great tasting product at less money that they used to pay, so they like it and bring us into the local distribution. And once we are in a local Sysco or US Foods warehouse, it becomes available to any restaurant, any food service organization to pull a case and put it on their menu.
Okay, and the product is referred to as, I think you said plant-based strips, is that right?
Savory strips.
Savory strips.
And our ingredient has the inherent savory umami flavor. So while thinking about how to name them, yes, we used to savory strips.
Okay, and you know, what is the primary ingredient, you know, the protein content, not content, but primary protein ingredient? And I was reading something about spent yeast. Is that, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Exactly. Spent yeast is the primary ingredient, and all secondary ingredients, which secondary is spent beans, is also a byproduct of the food industry. Because we started Planetarians not as a food tech company, but remember I said transform animal agriculture. And half of our business, we think that we are a climate technology company. Because let me little bit tell you the, or maybe I can ask you. So that's, this is the, put it this way. If you want to eat the orange, you have to peel it, right?
Right.
Where the peel goes?
Waste, typically.
Typically. Okay. Now put yourself in the shoes of the big orange juice manufacturer, and you have terry cones of those orange peels. Are you willing to pay for transportation and then pay the landfill costs to utilize this waste?
Hopefully not.
Exactly, because every business needs to think about how to cut the costs every way possible. So then this juice company is dreaming about animal farmer from nearby who can come and offtake that orange peel at their own expense. And thus, they cut the cost, transportation and landfill costs. And if they are good at sales, maybe they can even charge that animal farmer for the nutrients inside the peels. And if you think that that peel is not unique to oranges, almost every crop grown has the byproduct streams. Let's say you grow seeds for the oil. You press the vegetable oil out of the seeds, and you need to get rid of the dry matter left. So similar case. So when the BCG says that 1/3 of the crops one way or another end up discarded or wasted, majority of those crops is the side streams of industrial food manufacturing. So we thought if we really want to transform the animal agriculture, because all those side streams are unavoidable. You cannot eat the orange without peeling it. We need not to create another SKU on the shelf like the plant-based meat. We need to focus on finding a better home for the nutrients inside of those byproduct streams. No byproduct streams, no necessity for animal farmer to come and utilize it. So, and we, 8 years ago, once we realized that animals used as the mass means of byproducts utilization, started thinking and experimenting how we can find a better home for the nutrients in those byproduct streams.
I see. Okay. And so it's, you know, when spent yeast, for example, is traditionally, let's say, upcycled, it traditionally goes to livestock animal feed. Is that right?
Well, majority of breweries dump it on top of the spent grains and yes, sell it to animals.
I see. Okay. And so this is from the beer brewing process.
Correct. But similar approach you can find in the distilleries who make alcohol, all refineries. Yeah.
I see. Interesting. Okay. And we've seen different companies kind of use this approach to make different types of granola bars, that kind of thing. Your team has primarily used this to make these savory strips.
Well, we started from snacks as well. So it was our first product because it's like a scratch on the surface. Let's make the, well, chips, granola, your favorite. And we made and sold over 100,000 servings of our chips. It's like a potato chips. Okay. So, but we had to apply a bit, well, not that a bit, a sizable marketing to move it, to educate consumers. And that was something that was feeling that you need to push it. Okay. So then we experimented when we thought that, okay, yeah, if chips do not fly on their own, so maybe we can make pasta when we use the same ingredients and triple the protein content in the pasta. And we hooked the interest from Barilla, the largest pasta maker in the world, who proposed collaboration and financing to execute that collaboration. And we made that pasta. But again, the pasta had the very dark color, so Barilla, well, pass it on the launching it on the market. That means saying that, well, it might be like a sweet squid ink colored pasta. It would be trend that will be very quickly faded. So too much marketing. Okay, so
was it actually as dark as like a squid ink type of pasta?
Since that time, we used the sunflower meal. This is dry matter after sunflower seeds pressed for the oil. It was black like charcoal.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Definitely novel, right? Yeah.
Well, right now, I'm considering about the revitalizing this project because now, once we have the success with strips, it's customers way more open to put into their mouth something that looks unfamiliar. But that time, it was the hurdle. So, and we, well, had to move on and into the products that inherently have dark appearance. And, well, cooked meat is pretty dark. So, and this is how it, well, led us to the meat applications that we are working right now. And for that, we used initially solid-state fermentation. It's a, well, a pretty good process, but required a lot of capex. And one day I thought, well, what if I have the benefits of the fermentation? Because fermentation cleared the flavor, worked as the bitter blocker, and also, so, scouting for the byproducts of the fermentation, I stumbled spent yeast, that which breweries use for fermenting sugars and barley for alcohol. So, and that created a perfect pair to the spent soybeans, which a dry matter left for the after the oil squeezed out of the soybeans. Texturized them together, these two ingredients resulted in our savory strips with extremely low costs, because as you may assume, byproducts have very low floor. 2 minutes process, small capex, and now we can deliver these, well, pass these benefits to customers.
Yeah, and I guess when you're looking at a cost comparison, meat is also priced a lot higher than, you know, pasta or chips, and so you also get the benefit that way too.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We still have the cost similar to the pasta. Exactly.
And so approximately how much of these savory strips, you know, are you producing or can you produce?
Well, our current capacity is 20,000 pounds per month. But that facility was meant to prove that we can make it in a commercial scale. So we are right now prepaid and plan to deploy the equipment that allows us to scale capacity 10 times and even higher if you start working in two or three shifts.
You had mentioned some investment from Barilla. I think you guys went through one of the SOSV programs, maybe IndieBio, is that right?
That was not IndieBio. SOSV didn't have IndieBio in New York as they have it these days. At that time, they called it FoodX. Yeah, but yes, we were accelerated by FoodX and SOSV invested in us several times. But before them, we also got the investment and acceleration from Techstars. So this is our first institutional investors. And in addition to Barilla, we also have Anheuser-Busch, or the global AB&BF, as our supplier of spent yeast and the company who financed our pilot to prove that it works in the commercial scale.
Very cool. And is the pilot here in the Bay Area?
Yes, since the team is located here in Bay Area, we built it in Hayward, so it's a 30 minutes drive from San Francisco.
And how much money have you raised, you know, so far, like publicly announced?
Well, on the TechCrunch, you can find the information about our two seed rounds. So the first seed round, we closed $750,000 and used those money to develop technology. Second seed round was $6 million, and we used that money to prove that we can make it in the commercial scale, and the costs are similar to pasta and the capex the same as it was projected. And right now, the finishing our product market fit, because Savory Strips finally started bringing the reports from distribution on the repeat purchases. So we are closing our $2 million pre-A round, so to build more muscles. So totally, that would roughly $9 million.
Excellent. And you know, we're talking about this as we are actually preparing for a panel next week in Chicago for the Future of Protein Production Chicago event, State of the Industry Investment Landscape in 2024, taking place on Thursday, April 25th at 3:00. If you're listening, take a look at the show notes. You can still get tickets to the show. And you know, we're going to be diving into a little bit more about the investment landscape. So I'm pretty excited about, you know, seeing more from Planetarians, but there was something you had mentioned the last time, you know, we met, and now, you know, you have a section on your website for protein fries. So tell us, you know, what are protein fries?
Yeah, it's very fresh, 1 month old invention. So that came out from collaboration with our one of our retailers. Yeah. So understanding, well, observing from once how the food service companies work and how heavily understaffed they are. So they just cannot cook complex meals that require a long preparation without charging zillions for that. So this is why they lean to something very simple that any person can easily cook. So we thought, well, what if we make fries that require just, well, 30 seconds of deep frying. So we cut our meat into the strips, put into the deep fryer, and got something that resembles French fries, well, almost one for one. It's not yet one for one, but with a little bit work that we applied there. So right now, you have the same crunchiness as you used to have, and 30 grams of protein. It is. So, and again, having our ingredient innovation, because you remember that nutrients from upcycled ingredients and the side streams, extremely low cost. So we love to think that at scale, we can offer the same price as you used to pay for the French fries. And when we started showcasing this idea, then Alex, like you, well, what? Protein fries, 30 grams of protein, same price? That's the very typical reaction that we're getting. And then people taste it. So I think that we can quickly surpass sales of our savory strips with them.
And there's no potato content?
No potato involved.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and the photo, I mean, definitely we'll add some photos actually in the show notes, but I mean, it looks good. They actually look like fries, and hey, 30 grams of or you know, close to 30 grams of protein content is great. I really do like how you have the actually nutrition label on the website directly. I think that's great.
Well, because we have nothing to hide. So that's, yes, we use the size streams. So yes, and yes, we have our protein. And if you want a little bit healthier version, if you want to air fry them instead of deep frying, you will still get the same crunch with half of the fat.
But this is still planned for maybe food service B2B applications, right?
Well, I may dream about the consumer packaging product, but that probably I need to land one more co-founder with a skill. So, Alex, if you know or anyone from the audience who's listening to us, we're open. Just, well, find me on LinkedIn, reach out. Because, guys, fries is really something. And I will have samples. I will bring to Chicago. So if we will meet there at a future protein production event, yeah, you will have a chance to try.
Very cool. Okay, so consumer is not off the table. I like that. Great. So, you know, you just mentioned the best way to get in touch with you is LinkedIn. You know, before I asked you, you know, our last question of the show, which is, do you have any last insights? I wanted to ask you, you know, what is one challenge that you're spending time on right now?
So the most obvious challenge for sure is funding, because we got our traction with Savory Strips and this new creation, French fries, in a moment when the whole industry, so plant-based meat alternatives, in not the red, but deep, deep red zone. So right now, making things properly, way more challenging. So, and from one side, I should be worried about the fundraising. From another side, I'm more thinking about, well, I don't need money if I have the talent who knows how to do the consumer branding. Because these days, things you can do on TikTok or Instagram are worth way more than money spent on any advertising or the trade shows. So I think about the resources to grow forward. And these resources may come as from funding, so from the talented people who would love to, team. And we would love to give them the co-founder seats with the proper stock options. So I'd say this would be what I'm thinking these days the most.
I love that answer. Just as candid as the nutrition label. And if you're listening, this is, you know, your second call to say, hey, if you're good at consumer branding, you know, TikTok, you know, then maybe you should reach out. And you're right. I mean, you know, we see brands and also influencers really blow up overnight just from TikTok. So, okay, awesome. As we begin to wrap up, I just wanted to ask you if you have any last insights or announcements for our listeners today.
Well, if this show goes live this week, so folks, the Climate Week in San Francisco starts this Sunday, and we host a great event at San Francisco Conservatory of Music Opera. It's called Cinderellion, so the Cinderella 2050. Where robots, well, Cinderella will have the bionic leg, Prince will have the bionic hand, a lot of futuristic stuff, and we will present our protein fries as the meal of the future, where calories replaced with proteins. So find this event at the Climate Tech Week. Come, and this is, you can, try, and we can chat. If you're in Chicago next week, come to the Protein Production Summit. And if you are on the East Coast, Wall Street Journal selected us, our fries, to showcase at the Future of Everything Festival on May 20th till 23rd. So welcome. We would love to chat, showcase, and collaborate.
Sounds like some great opportunities. Ali, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Alex, for hosting us. Bye, everyone.
This is your host, Alex, and we'll see you on the next episode.